This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we look at this situation here. We have all these government guys creating things and possibly creating a UFO mythology. Yeah. And that creates another problem, Walter Bosley, which is how do we separate the UFO mythology from the presence of real UFOs? What's left?
Well, to finish what I was saying a moment ago, perhaps, you know, the MKUltra guys, as Randall had asked, perhaps they were studying this phenomena because it naturally was curious to them because they were all interested in, you know, they were deep into the Mayan sciences. Maybe that's why they had their hand in this, really, is because of what was going on in the heads of people. So, you know, then to answer your question about how do we separate the mythology from, you know, the reality, well, you know, the simple answer is use basic objective, as objective as possible, investigative skills. You know, just kind of take a step back and just separate the wheat from the chaff. A remote viewer does this when they have their column of the analytical overlay. Analytical overlay, or AOL, is the stuff which leads to assumptions about what it is you're viewing. And these assumptions are just based on psychological prejudices and you know, just human framework where you got to put a label on something to understand it. And you set that stuff aside. Well, you're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do the same thing with UFO study and ufology. Is you have to be able to admit to yourself how many of your conclusions are just your assumptions that your mind is doing really for comfort, and just stay on the objective. Don't necessarily assume what it is, you know, you see. Just state what it is you see. You follow me? You see the thing floating in the air above your house. You know, to say that it's from another planet is an assumption. To say that it's a flying object above your house is the reality. That's what you're seeing. You don't know yet where it comes from, you know, and really it's just, it's that simple. People have to take a step back and again, try to, you know, maintain the objectivity. However, that said, I've also been involved in discussions and of the school of thought where the fact that these things are happening to people can be very subjective. The specifics about what people are seeing can be very subjective. To the point where the phenomenon itself appears to be, in many cases, to be reaching into the psyche of the witness and letting them see whatever it is they prefer to see. In other words, you have this object, okay, or this being or this entity. You have this source of the phenomena, okay, and it has its own actual form. However, it reaches into the psyche of the human witness and it allows that witness to see its form as whatever that witness wants to see it as. So the one person is looking at an ET, the other person is looking at, you know, a Nazi in a spacesuit, and yet a third person is, you know, maybe looking at a kangaroo, okay, floating in an Easter basket. That could be going on here too, and that could have fascinated the MK Ultra guys. So by all means, what's going on in the human psyche is very important in this, and I think it can change how a lot of people start looking at this phenomenon. And I will add that it doesn't make any one of those three people who saw the Nazi, the kangaroo, or the ET, it doesn't make any of their experiences less valid because they are still all encountering that initial odd object, whatever it is.
What about things like UFO contacts, UFO abductions? And I'll mention one case that Nick Redfern refers to quite often, Orfeo Angelucci, where he meets this guy, I guess a military type guy, at a diner. Do you recall the story? And he supposedly takes some kind of pill or tab from this guy. And very naive guy, Orfeo Angelucci. He takes it, and then suddenly all strange things happen, like he's taking a psychedelic or something.
Sure. Yeah, how about that? He meets a guy. The guy gives him, you know, something he ingests. And, you know, this touches on so many of these experiences. And actually dating back to ancient times when people would meet the, and I'm doing air quotes here, the so-called fairy folk. And, you know, they would be given, you know, something to eat. You know, this is partially what inspired, you know, what Lewis Carroll wrote in Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, you know, Lewis Carroll and his generation, they were discovering, you know, recreational drugs through the opium and stuff. And Alice in Wonderland can be said to be as much about that as this other thing. But it also dates back to, you know, when you go into fairyland or encounter the fairy folks, you know, they often say, if they give you something to eat, do not eat it, because you may never come back, or it will, you know, alter your perception for life. And that situation with Orfeo sounds just like that. So, you know, are the government experimenters now, you know, are they purposely copying, you know, the ancient legend about these strange folk from the other dimension? That's possible, too, because one of the main guys, Sidney Gottlieb, who was deeply involved in MKUltra, he was a folklorist. He was very much into things like, you know, the fairy lore and such. So, you know, think about it. In the post-World War II era, when you got government guys, mysterious government guys, or just mysterious guys claiming to be from somewhere else, and they want to give you a pill or anything to ingest, you know, that could very well be, you know, a product of the Sidney Gottlieb school of experimenting on the public and their perceptions.
Yeah, and that's the ones where the guy was actually shown the pill to begin with. I mean, imagine the ones that where people don't know.
Yeah, the ones who they slipped Mickey's or they sprayed the LSD in the air in this party apartment in San Francisco. That was an interesting little episode in the 50s and 60s in MKUltra's history. Was they aerosol? They found a way to spray. I'm pretty sure it was LSD. It might have been the magic mushroom stuff, and they sprayed it in this apartment. And they just invited these, you know, variety of people over to party, and they observed how they reacted and the strange things that happened, and they had no clue that this was being done to them. So,
yeah, I seem to recall an episode of the X-Files where they hooked that up to Mulder's apartment, and he began acting out. One thing we can say about Roswell is that something did happen. We may not know exactly what it is. And your book, Shimmering Light, it talks about some connections there between your dad and what may have happened at Roswell. Maybe you could tell us about that.
You know, I've talked about it in limited terms in the past. I did write an article about it under my pseudonym back in 2000 to 2006. My employment was such that I had to be kind of sensitive about what I did publicly. So I wrote this article under my then fiction pseudonym, EA Guest. And it was published in Fake Magazine and then republished in their Best of Roswell hardcover edition. But basically, from the mid-70s, early mid-70s, my dad had told me this story that when he was in the Air Force in the late 50s, he had been, as a course of his duties, he worked in, he was in the aviation medicine, aerospace medicine division of the Air Force, and he worked in the early days of the Mercury space program when it belonged to the Air Force and, you know, was transitioning to NASA. And so he had a clearance for, you know, high clearance for things space travel related back then. And he told this story of being, you know, put on an assignment where they flew them to Wright-Patt. They briefed him and a few other guys in on this crash that happened in New Mexico at Roswell. And then they flew them out to eastern Arizona, because what they were told was that in 1947, this parallel human civilization that shares this planet with us had crashed. And they were told that it had happened again, you know, this 11 years later in eastern Arizona. And he was going to be part of the big Air Force retrieval effort that was going on out there. And due to his work, his job, you know, in aviation medicine, they had to be briefed in on Roswell.
Let's talk about the Roswell briefing in a moment. with Walter Bosley, Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Homeowners have much more to worry about than just making their mortgage payment. Can you afford to repair or replace your air conditioning when it stops working this summer? Or worse, a major plumbing problem? With National Home, you can say goodbye to repair bills. If you own a home, you can stop paying for these costly repairs. Best of all, call now to get 1 month of repair coverage for free. Get total protection for your home's major appliances and systems, so you have no more costly repair bills. Call 800-887-3022. That's 800-887-3022. 800-887-3022.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Walter, let's continue. What was he told about Roswell?
Basically, my dad was told that what happened at Roswell was the crash of a craft from a parallel civilization that has coexisted with us on this planet in a subterranean realm, a separate civilization. that they crashed in 1947. And he said that he and the other guys were shown the bodies. It was explained to them that this civilization had coexisted. They really didn't want anything to do with us. That what he saw as far as the bodies were that they were human, just like us, but they were virtually hairless. That was one of the things that he described them as. And he said that the bodies he saw, they were slightly smaller than the average human. But he always insisted, you know, this dates back to the in around 1980 when the Roswell Incident book came out, the Moore Berlitz book, and the whole E.T. theme became popularly attached to Roswell. And after that, for years up until he died, you know, he insisted that Roswell, they were not the little gray E.T.s. They were not those kind of E.T. He said they were human beings. You know, he stayed consistent with that till the day he died, you know, for decades. Well, after they're briefed on this, as I said, they're sent out to eastern Arizona. We're in a subterranean area out there. They're trying to find the lost pilot of another downed craft. But at the same time, there appeared to have been a little bit more interaction going on between U.S. personnel and this other civilization, and possibly even a little bit of technology sharing. You know, the weird part to me is they had this technology that was more advanced than ours in some way. You know, so I think it was more, they had more to offer than we did technologically speaking, but we were able to help them find their guy. And there was an incident where my dad and another guy encountered some of these denizens underground, and the guy my dad was with was killed. It's a very weird story that for years, you know, he told to me, and I decided to finally really dig into it. And that's when I discovered that Aviation Medicine and Operation Paperclip Nazis and MK Ultra were there, right there in the mix, you know, within the milieu of what my dad was experiencing and talking about. So those are the basics of my dad's weird story. And my book is my first time really just jumping in, you know, to try to put it in some type of historical context and try to flesh these things out.
So these are from accounts that you heard over a number of years from your dad and have just pieced them together into a book best you can right now.
Well, that and also the fact that I had, you know, I spent 18 years in the national security community. Between FBI and myself, Air Force, and most of the listeners know I'm a former OSI agent. I'm an Air Force officer. And then I went into counterterrorism stuff internationally. And during that time, I had a mentor, a higher ranking, a senior ranking officer who had spent 44 years in the intelligence community. And he had, you know, over the years told me that, you know, what my dad was telling me was the truth, and, you know, had me get him to flesh it out a little bit more to me. So I was going on, you know, by the time I write this book, you know, in the last year, you know, I'd been going on my dad's story that he told me, but also my personal experience in the Air Force and this other source of mine who, you know, had been in the intelligence community for years. He started out in Army Special Ops. And to see this guy's career, you know, it brings to mind this group that Nick Redfern writes about, the Collins Elite, this ultra-secret, you know, Army intel group that was dealing directly with the whole UFO and weird stuff issue. I would not be surprised if this guy had been one of those guys, for better or worse. So I approached it from, you know, the point of view that, okay, some of the weirder aspects of this, I'm told, you know, have legs, have a foundation. It's not just something where a dad's pulling a son's leg. And also the fact that I'm trained and experienced in what we call subject interview or subtle interrogation in these techniques where, you know, I know how to question somebody, have a conversationally, and insert little tools and tactics to where I can push pressure points and kind of get it's kind of a polygraph without hooking somebody up to a machine. Because there's little tells that human beings have when they're being dishonest and stuff. And I applied this pretty much full force to my dad, and after having learned it and become experienced in it, say, the last 10 years of his life. And, you know, in my personal estimate, he was absolutely telling the truth as he believed it. And I only add the as he believed it because, you know, that's what people want to hear. I mean, you know, and it could be the possibility that it was as he believed it. My book goes into the possibility that his story itself was an implanted narrative. And, you know, I'm honest about that. There's what I personally embrace and would like to think was true about his story. And then there's what I have to objectively say was very possible.
Well, that's really interesting. It's good that you recognize that. Yeah, that's really interesting. And that actually sort of answers a question I was going to ask, is that, well, maybe the parallel civilizations explanation is being used as a cover story for something interstellar. I mean, it could go both ways.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It could be, but it could also be that it was for something even more bizarre than that, that was harder to explain than just people from another planet. You know, it's in that zone we were talking about earlier of, you know, what the heck? You know, it could be that, you know, it's even more interesting than just people from another planet. Or it could be, also in the mix, it could be that it wasn't any of that, that it really was just human shenanigans.
But either way, you were able to establish that he was at certain places at certain times and that he did hear these stories and that they do have these connections that you outline in your book.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I got the – was there a question – I'm trying to think, were you asking me a question or just making a statement?
Somewhat rhetorically, I guess. It's just to confirm that I've got sort of the take on your book correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's what I try to do in my book is, you know, present the possibilities that I found. You know, all along the spectrum, from the wild on down to the very mundane, because, you know, any one of them could be valid.
Does that sound like a cliffhanger to you? Well, it sure sounds like a cliffhanger to me. So I'll tell you what, we're going to end the segment here, and we'll continue the stories from our guests. They'll continue in the next segment. And by the way, Walter and Randall will also be on After the Paracast this week. The book is Shimmering Light. Let's shimmer away here with Walter Bosley, Randall Murphy, and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we continue. I want to throw back the UFO contact abduction thing in one other way, which is, this is where I'm always shot down, but I keep repeating it until they stop me. And that is with regard to Betty and Barney Hill. They live near a military base. Their friends are in the military.
Yep.
They have an experience there where they see beings that are very, very different than the gray aliens that we heard about, particularly after Communion came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, was that a mind control experiment?
It could have been, because you also remember that Barney clearly saw a Caucasian human that he described as a Nazi. So there was, you know, the human presence in that encounter that, for whatever reason, some people aren't aware of or they choose not to mention. Yes, in that era, when you consider the context of, you know, like what was going on with what the paperclip Nazis did when they then developed MK Ultra, when you look at all that stuff that was going on and the fact that we were in the middle of, you know, the Cold War, I point this out in my book that people now have to go back and look at it from the context of where these guys were coming from, the Department of Defense and the Air Force in particular. You know, we're in the middle of a Cold War, and we weren't sure what was going on, what was going to happen next. And things like MKUltra, this, you know, if somebody said, hey, this might be a way that we can protect our secrets, you know, yeah, absolutely. I would think that they'd be at first enthused, you know, hey, if it protects our secrets, you know, let's do it. Or, hey, you know, this guy's doing this weird mind experiments over here, this perception management stuff, and the ultimate end could be to either fool the enemy or protect our secrets or both. Well, then, you know, the guys on the upper level, not knowing the full details, remember back then, they might not have known the full details, would say, hey, do what you need to do to secure the country. When you're trying to figure out what was going on back then, you have to consider that perspective because it was valid back then. Now, in the hindsight of time past, you know, we can look back and pass a judgment and say, well, you know, boy, they were off here and they were really off there. But back then, they really didn't have a way of knowing that. You know, they were coming out of a world war that ended with atomic weaponry. You know, look at what was at stake. So they were willing to try anything. In that perspective, absolutely, you know, what happened to Betty and Barney Hill could very much have been, could have been a complete mind experiment. Or if it was something extraordinary, it could have been something done with these other people. Or, as it appears to be, other people from another world. That's always a possibility. I think the point that a lot of people want to see made now is that for years people have just jumped to the one possibility and said, well, that's the answer. When clearly, well, no, that's not the answer. It's one possibility. Let's stay grounded here and recognize that, you know, the ET thing there is a possibility, but there are also other equal possibilities. And if we're really going to solve this mystery and answer these questions, we've got to stay, you know, in the center on this. And while recognizing the possibilities, not be too eager to latch onto one too soon.
There's been a counterpoint to that in that we can go back to the Project Magnet memo where they're saying that that alone was classified higher than the H-bomb. But then, so, you know, then again, back to the question, why would they use UFOs as a cover for something else when UFOs were more secret? But if we go back to the actual Cold War and the OSI and the Robertson panel, mm-hmm. what you actually had there was a recommendation that UFOs be debunked precisely for the reasons that you're suggesting. And therefore, to not give them media attention, if anything, maybe make out like there was something there and then completely debunk it. They even wanted to debunk the pilots in the Air Force who had seen these, and Ruppelt, who was one of the investigators at the time, took great exception to that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got an official OSI, and the CIA was in on this as well, saying, no, don't get UFOs into the media, why would they use it as a cover story for the Betty and Barney encounter? I mean, again, to me, this just doesn't make any sense. So that would be my answer to that question, Gene.
Well, number one, nothing in what you were saying there necessarily, you know, says that the ET conclusion is what they were hiring, first of all. And then a little earlier, I made the distinction that using the idea that, oh, these things are from another world would have been a good way to cover your own technology, because fewer people out there, you know, would really accept that and they or they would laugh off any stories related to what people were seeing, so that while they're out there flying and testing their technology, and if it gets publicly identified with something that can be ridiculed, not only will this proposed majority laugh at the idea that it was men from another world, they would increasingly just ignore when people say, hey, I saw this thing flying around, right? So that hopefully, I think this is what they were hoping, these things would get reported less. Now, what you described, you know, hey, let's not give it attention, let's not, that was a recommendation. Remember, that was a recommendation. Recommendations are not always taken, are not always applied 100% across the board. Now, that was a recommendation in that, hey, perhaps the Russians or the Chinese or whoever will not have something to pay attention to when we're testing our craft if we quit encouraging these things to be reported. And if we discourage public outlets from, you know, covering it every time somebody sees one of our things. So it could just as equally explain what you're saying about, oh, they're classified above the H-bomb. Well, if it is our own secret defense technology, you betcha it is going to be classified if it's that advanced above the H-bomb. And we don't want these things publicized. So actually, within a grounded logic, it also works. You know, yeah, this technology, whatever the UFO stuff is, you know, this human base that they're covering, this technology itself is classified above the H-bomb. And no, we don't want people to be encouraged to be talking about it publicly. To me, in my mind, you know, that's logical too. So that's where I'm saying we have to be careful with all these memos and such that we either make the ET assumption or we take an allusion to, you know, something possibly from another world being suggested in a memo as, oh, well, that's exactly what they thought and that's the only thing they thought. That's the problem with the post-World War II memo issue that pops up, the ones that are real, you know. That's the problem that I and some others have with them is really they get misinterpreted.
I think you make a good point on one level, and that is that certainly there were secret projects where people observed or had some contact with them, radar contact, and they didn't know what they were seeing because they were secret projects. We had the U-2, we had the SR-71, we had the Skyhook balloons, and we did have those. And when those were reported, nobody knew what they were. So they kind of went down as unknowns, and then they were maybe blown further out by the ET believers into flying saucers. And so we do know that a number of reports of secret projects were reported as unknowns, and that came to be later interpreted as flying saucers. So there's definitely some credence to that line of thinking.
Yeah, that's and that's not even mentioning when we get into the you know, the field of speculation on, you know, the Nazi technology that was inherited or the breakaway civilization issue. When you throw that possibility into the mix, that's even more human source stuff that people were seeing out there. And
oh,
again, even with all this said, I still agree that there's that percentage of stuff that very well could have come from other worlds.
Yeah, we got that flying wing technology from the German.
The Horton brothers.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some people that have thought, well, maybe that's what Arnold might have seen is some sort of classified version of the flying wing.
Right, and that gets into what I have found, and I say this with a smile, I like to call it the most hated book by, you know, people into the ET hypothesis.
We have Walter Bosley, Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Yesterday, I got a call from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. If you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes, call now for a free and confidential tax debt analysis. Call Coast One now for a free consultation at 800-643-4661 now. 800-643-4661. That's 800-643-4661.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Love or loathe him, Donald J. Trump is our 45th president. There is no denying now that Trump will go down in history, both despised and admired. Commemorate Trump's presidency with your very own Trump Silver Bust from TrumpSilverStatue.com. This museum-quality heirloom Trump Silver Statue bust is hand-cast from 20 troy ounces of silver, a great investment from TrumpSilverStatue.com. Loathed or loved, own a valuable piece of Trump's legacy. Get your solid silver Trump bust today at TrumpSilverStatue.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We have Walter Bosley with us, and we're talking about the past to see how it relates to the future with Randall Murphy as our guest co-host. Walter?
Yes, we were talking about, I mentioned the most hated book in the UFO community out there, and that's Joseph Farrell's Roswell and the Reich. I just know there's going to be boos and hisses at the very mention of this thing. But I would like to say that to a man, the people that I've discussed this book with, who are primarily ET proponents, who really cast the most venom on the book, they admit they've never read it. Which, I find hilarious. I get no end of amusement out of that, how they can just trash, a line of research, and they really haven't read it. If they would read it, I think that's what bothers them. If they would read it, they fear that it might change their mind and shatter their lifelong fantasy. But Farrell follows the line of, he points out what kind of advanced technology that Nazi Germany was working on during the war, World War II, and then he shows you the kinds of things that have been associated with Roswell over the years. And, he shows you the parallels there. And, some of them are a pretty dead match for, what was going on. So, and I lost my point.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
So, therefore, you forgot that. Therefore, we're going to have to revoke your classification. We'll give it to Michael Flynn.
Randall had made a I was answering a question, and then we had the break, and then it's like, what was that question again? Or the comment again?
I think you made your point perfectly, actually. I think we can all accept that there's definitely secret projects out there that have been misinterpreted as something alien when it's not. Well, then again, we're talking about how do we define alien. In my sense, I think it could very well be something mysterious, unknown from outside what we know of our civilization, not necessarily extraterrestrial.
Right.
So, I mean, alien visitation could hypothetically come from some unknown terrestrial location. I just don't really see how it's possible that that could happen other than in the context of secret military projects.
Well, admittedly, the hidden civilization, you know, as much as I've discussed that and to a degree I'm a proponent of it, or at least entertain it seriously, yeah, it is a wild one. It's a wild one that you would think could be easily proven or disproven. And I like to acknowledge that. You know, I just like I acknowledge whenever I'm speculating, I'm very clear on it. That's why, again, talking about the things that amuse me, when I have somebody who will give me a critique, you know, a critical review on something I've written or said, and they say, "Oh, he makes stuff up," and he does wild. And I go back and, you know, I find where I've stated something as a speculation, you know, about 37 times, and you know, I admit that, you know, this hidden civilization possibility is out there, but it's in the mix for a variety of reasons, and I find that interesting.
Oh, it is interesting, and that's what I like about your stuff. It does make people think about, well, you know, what's going on behind the scenes? What is out there that we don't know that is maybe more local within our world, within our civilization, that goes on behind closed doors that, if we knew, I mean, there's plenty of speculation that goes on in the field. So you're not alone in speculating, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I like to think so. I like to think that I'm not the only one going out on the crazy limb, you know, when I do. And I like to admit it, and I think I do. I think I make it very clear.
Oh, absolutely, you do. Yeah, it says so right in your introduction.
It's important for people to, you know, just admit when it's something that, you know, they think, you know, it could be, you know, a conclusion as a result of much research and much analysis and much thought, but, you know, still, you know, nothing wrong with saying, well, here's what I think, here's what I'm leaning toward, here's what intrigues me. And there's nothing wrong with this. There are some folks out there that think that there should be no speculation in this field, that all that should be discussed are things that can be proven, hard facts. And what I have found with those people is generally they're serving a different agenda. Generally they're, you know, sometimes a member of like a skeptic group, and, you know, they've all decided that, you know, they'll go out there in the paranormal world and they'll try to shut down delay. They'll try to shut down or slow down as much speculative conversation as they can, for whatever reason. It's almost like a religion for them.
Well, when you're thinking about this theory, then, so what we've got then is some sort of parallel civilization, for lack of a better term, or at least some society capable of constructing these craft in some place that we don't really know about. And that kind of implies some level of cooperation between their society and ours now. I could see how maybe back in, you know, prior to the 1800s, they might have gotten away with some secret base in Antarctica or something, but not anymore. So, you know.
Unless.
Sure, go ahead.
Unless the idea of a parallel civilization or a hidden civilization is a projected construct that they want people to believe. And who would do this? But let's just pick a culprit, the military industrial complex. And they have plenty of facilities that are, you know, restricted access. See?
Absolutely.
What's
the connection there then? You're saying we've got are black projects that are interfacing with a parallel civilization?
No, what I'm suggesting there is that there could be no parallel civilization, that this is all a projected construct to have, you know, to see who will believe it, or to have it be projected as a cover for something that is just merely the activity of a military-industrial complex, which makes this whole thing more nefarious, yes.
Oh, that's entirely possible. I mean, if we consider parallel civilization as the workings of a group of organized individuals who work apart from what we know of in our own civilization, I mean, they could literally be working parallel to us in another office downtown, and we wouldn't really know that they were part of this whole other construct. So in that context, I could see it happening.
It's like this. When I was in counterespionage, we would vet a source. Okay. I was, chief of a CE ops, double agent operations, for a while when I was at Wright-Patterson. And, the whole time I was at Wright-Patterson. And when you're vetting a guy or gal that you want to, be a DA, a controlled provocation, as we call it, to make the enemy think that, a target think that, you know, they're an angry American wanting to, you know, sell America's secrets. You got to make sure you can trust this person, so you put them through this extensive vetting process. And one of the things you'll do is use role play. You will put that person, you know, you'll fly them to another city in some cases, and you'll have them spend a weekend going through this whole mission that to them is very, very real. And you have role players, you know, that are pretending to be Russians or, you know, some other, you know, foreign hostile intelligence service. And, you know, you pick your best people, you put this together, and the whole thing is a construct. So, you know, there's an example of there would be U.S. Air Force intel agency who is creating this complete dramatic fantasy and putting somebody through this course that they believe they're dealing with Russian agents in a city, you know, 500 miles from where they live. And they're following the instructions and they're encountering these people. And the whole time it's our own. And we're just, you know, making sure we can trust the guy with money. We're making sure that, you know, that those women he meets in the bar who are trying to get him to go to their room, they're our own people, you know, to see if we can, you know, keep him on track and can't be compromised and blah, 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 so forth. And the same thing could be being done with both the ET hypothesis and this parallel hidden civilization hypothesis.
Let me ask you a couple of questions in our next segment about this, Walter. Walter Bosley, okay. Gene Steinberg, Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance.
become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.